So Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself, and on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed, he will render to each one according to his works, to those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. Right.
Hello everyone, my name is Brian and I'm on staff here at the Moorgate Talks. It's lovely to see you and may I add my welcome to Alfie's. Scottish police defy Nicola Sturgeon's gender self-ID drive. Why are the BBC giving Shamima Begum more airtime? These are just a couple of headlines from a national newspaper. In their opinion, Nicola Sturgeon and the BBC are wrong. The editor of this newspaper knows that its readers also disagree with the liberal agenda of the SNP and the BBC. And so every day they publish articles that pour scorn on the so-called progressive agenda of the liberal establishment. They do so from a position of moral superiority. They can judge the liberal establishment because they are standing on the moral high ground. Many Christians also reject the so-called progressive movement within the church. The Church of England General Synod is debating the bishop's proposals on living in love and faith today. Evangelicals are rightly opposed to any changes to doctrine or practice that depart from the Word of God. The Lord Jesus commends faithfulness to his Word. But there is a risk that Christians can do so with an attitude of pride and arrogance. We may think that we are so much better than those with whom we disagree. Well, what does God think about people who pass judgment on others? Well, the Apostle Paul teaches us from today's passage that those who pass judgment on other people are in trouble with God. Those who pass judgment on other people are in trouble with God. Well, why? Because they are hypocrites, and they themselves will have to face God's just judgment. This passage is part of a section from chapter 1, verse 16, to chapter 3, verse 20. Paul is responding to a series of arguments against God's verdict on humanity. We can see his conclusion in chapter 3, verse 19. He says, "So that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God." In other words, everyone will finally admit that they are guilty sinners before God. Back in chapter 1 of Romans, and you may remember if you were here for the series last term, at the start of Paul's argument, God's anger is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. In other words, God is angry at our rejection of him, the Creator. We worship created things rather than God, the creator of all things. And as a result, God has given us up to all sorts of wickedness, like sexual immorality, covetousness, envy, murder, and gossip. And that is why our world today is so full of sinful behavior, and that includes us as well. In our passage today, we learn that people who pass judgment on others are sinners as well. There's no separate category that they belong to. They too are committing these wicked actions that they condemn other people for. They are not excluded from God's judgment. And so let's dive into the passage together. You'll see a handout, an outline on the handouts on your tables, and you can follow on with the different points. And we're going to look at point one. The self-righteous will be judged by God. The self-righteous will be judged by God. Now look down with me to verse 1 of our passage today. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. What's the problem? Well, some people are passing judgment on others. It says that in verse 2. And then in verse 3, again, it says, there are people who judge those who do such things. There are people who judge others for doing the wrong things. And these people are like the newspaper editor or the readers who think that they are on the moral high ground. They are superior to others. They look down on those who are less upright than themselves. They're self-righteous. Paul may have been referring to Jewish people in these verses, only they would know about God's kindness and repentance from their knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. They were passing judgment on others, but not actually doing good themselves. But since Paul, the author of Romans, doesn't actually describe them as Jewish, we won't label them as such. We will return to Jewish people next week in the rest of chapter 2, where it explicitly talks about them. So, Paul says that it is the self-righteous who are under the judgment of God. They are the ones who are in the dock. God is their judge. He says to them in verse 1, you have no excuse, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, practice the very same things. And then verse 3, do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who do such things, and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? So God is announcing his verdict on these self-righteous people. He is saying that they are actually hypocrites. They are not morally superior to others, as they might think, because they do the very same things that they condemn other people for. They point the finger at others and say, oh, look at their bad behavior. But God is saying, look, don't you realize you too are doing the same things? You act in the same ways. So they too are under God's judgment. God is unhappy with them. God is angry at them as well. Paul exposes their wickedness further in verses 4 and 5. Now look down with me to verse 4. These people presume on God's kindness by refusing to repent. Repentance means turning back to God. So these people, they refuse to turn back to God. Verse 5 goes on to say, because of their hard and impenitent hearts, they are storing up wrath, that means anger, for themselves on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. In other words, these self-righteous people are sinning because they have hard hearts. So it's not just that their actions are evil, the root cause is their stubborn, rebellious hearts. And you may remember the logic in chapter 1 of Romans. It was people's darkened hearts. They suppress the truth, and that leads to wicked behavior. And so hard hearts leads to evil actions. And because these people refuse to repent, they will have to face God's judgment on the day of judgment. And notice how much of God's anger is building up to that point, to that day of judgment. Paul deliberately uses this language of storing up wrath. We are meant to realize that with the passing of each day, God's anger against self-righteous people is building up. It's accumulating, increasing day by day. Every act, whether that's sexual immorality, envy, or murder, is incurring more of God's wrath. Each lie, gossip, and boast is adding to God's righteous fury against sin. Now verse 4 tells us that God is patient and kind and restrained. So he is postponing that judgment to give people time to turn back to him. But one day his patience will end. It will run out. Verse 5 says that on that day of judgment, God will pour out that accumulated wrath on sinful humanity. And that will be a really terrifying day. And so we can conclude that those who judge other people will themselves be judged by God. They will be exposed as hypocrites who commit the same wicked things as the people they judged. Their refusal to repent will mean that they too will have to face God's anger on Judgment Day. Now, as I said at the start, you know, people like to pass judgment on others. You get that in newspapers, as I read out, you know, the headlines. You see that there. But you also get it online as well. You just go on Twitter and you see for yourselves the judging that happens between opposing sides. As human beings, we are quick to judge other people, and I include myself in that. It's so easy to think that we are morally superior to others. We quickly highlight the flaws of other people. I think it makes us feel good about ourselves, that you know we think we're better than others. And even for those of us who are Christians, yes, it's right to defend the faith. It's right to say no to false teaching. But we may do so with an attitude of pride and arrogance. We think that, you know, our moral standing is so much higher than those who we are judging. But we forget that we too are sinners in God's eyes. Yes, we may actually, you know, behave better, but in God's eyes, we are still sinners. If we judge other people, we should know that we too will come under God's just judgment as well. The truth is that those of us who condemn others do the very same things that we condemn them for. It's true that perhaps it's not to the same degree. For example, we may not have murdered millions of people like Hitler or Stalin. But you know what Jesus says? We commit murder when we hate our brothers and sisters in our hearts. And we may not have committed adultery, but Jesus again says that anyone who looks at another person with lustful intent has already committed adultery with them. And so Jesus is exposing all of us, really, as hypocrites. All of us deserve God's just judgment. We won't be let off the hook. There is no separate category of the more righteous as opposed to the less righteous. All of us are sinners. And all of us will face God's anger alongside Hitler and Stalin. Now I realize this may be the first time that you've heard this. It may come as quite shocking. You may think that it sounds really harsh of God. Well, if you do, please don't hesitate to speak to me or to Julia at the end. We'd love to help you think through this together. We acknowledge it is a hard-hitting message, and it may take time to process and digest it. Well, we've already seen that Paul exposes the self-righteous as hypocrites and deserving of God's just judgment. Well, Paul now goes on to establish the justice of God in verses 6 to 11 of our passage today. And that's our second point. God will judge everyone justly. And the question is God actually a just judge? I mean, if God is condemning us for being hypocrites, what about him, himself? Like, is he a fair judge? Is he qualified to judge us? And I think that's a reasonable question to ask. As, you know, most of us will know, every child's favorite comeback is, but that isn't fair. And Paul now addresses this question, like, is God actually fair in his judgment? Well, Paul starts his argument in verse 6. God will render to each one according to his works or their works. Render is just another word for handing out. So what he's saying is, on Judgment Day, God will hand out judgment to each person according to their works. Verse 7 tells us that to those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. It's quite a long sentence, isn't it? And lots of words. But what it's saying simply is this, that those who do good will have eternal life, and those who do evil will face God's anger. Good, life, bad, judgment. And actually this shows us that God's judgment is just. Well, how so? Well, because every justice system in the world is built upon this principle. If a person does good, he'll be rewarded. But if a person does evil, he'll be punished. And every person who breaks the law is supposed to face the wrath of the justice system. And the Old Bailey isn't very far from here. And every day there are, you know, dozens of cases. And the judges at that court are judging people based on their actions, on their deeds. Like, if they are innocent, they'll be acquitted. But if they're guilty, then they'll be punished according to the law. Now imagine if the judge said, oh, you know, the guilty can go free, but the innocent will be punished instead. Well, there would be an outcry, wouldn't there? Because justice isn't being served. And so actually, God's giving of life to those who are good and punishing those who are wicked is just, it's fair. But then someone who knows the Old Testament might actually say to Paul, but then isn't God unfair because he favors the Jewish people? In the Old Testament, the Jews are God's chosen race. They are his special people. They have this special relationship with God. So aren't they receiving special treatment from God? Well, Paul tackles this objection in verses 9 and 10. Look down with me to verse 9. It says, there will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. So in other words, God isn't going to show favoritism to the Jewish nation on the Day of Judgment. He will judge both Jews and non-Jews by the same standards. Those who do good will receive honor, and those who do evil will face God's judgment. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, it's the same standards, same basis of judgment. Now, God will judge Jewish people first, because they were the first to receive God's law. But the basis of judgment will be exactly the same as for non-Jewish people. The key question will be, as each person faces God, did they do good or did they do evil? Not were they Jewish or were they Gentile? Now, of course, the opposite is true as well. God will not favor non-Jewish people. I guess for most of us, if not all of us, we're not Jewish. And we can't use that as an excuse to let us off the hook. God will not treat us non-Jews with special favor because of us not being Jewish. We too will be judged based on our actions. So God will judge everyone in exactly the same way. He is a just judge. And so Paul's answer to the question, is God fair, is a resounding yes, of course he is. God is fair in his judgment. He will judge everyone based on their works. And so he concludes in verse 11, God shows no partiality. He will not show favoritism towards anyone. And so no one can complain to God that he's unfair or unjust. They are hypocrites and they deserve his judgment, but God is just. He is right to judge us. He has the authority. He does have the moral high ground to judge us. Well, how does this apply to all of us? Well, I think we should heed the warning. Like, none of us can say to God on Judgment Day that he is unfair. We will have to submit to his just judgment. No excuses that we come up with will suffice. No complaints we present will be accepted. God's verdict will be unquestionable. We will all stand before him as guilty sinners deserving of his judgment. Well, a common objection to Christianity is, how could a loving God send people to hell? The underlying accusation there is that God is not fair. I mean, most people are nice and, you know, decent, but hell is a really awful place of, you know, fire and brimstone, lots of judgment. So how could God send nice people to such an awful place? And so the conclusion is God must be unfair. Well, this passage shows us that that's not right, that God's judgment is just. People get sent to hell because they deserve it. This will be the end result of a lifetime of disobedience to God. God has given all of us many chances to turn back to him, and yet people will refuse to do so. And so just as a human judge is right to send a criminal to prison, so God is right to send unrepentant sinners to a place of judgment. And for us Christians, I think this really helps us to recognize our need for the gospel. Outside of Christ, we too would have to face God's just judgment for our wickedness. To put it really bluntly, we deserve hell too. I deserve hell as well. I am a wicked sinner, and I deserve God's just judgment. And so let's be really thankful for Jesus. He really is God's power of salvation, as Paul says in Romans 1, verse 16. Even for sinners like ourselves, if we trust in Jesus, we can be forgiven, and we can receive eternal life. And we'll learn more about how God does this in chapter 3. But for now, let's just give thanks that because of Jesus, we can stand before God, not as guilty sinners, but as forgiven children. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this sobering passage. Thank you that it really exposes us as we truly are, as guilty sinners before a just God. And yeah, we're really sorry for how we disobey you in our lives, and we pray that you would help us to turn back to you. And thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that you sent him into the world to save us. Help us to believe in him so that we might receive eternal life when we face him as our judge on the final day of judgment. In Jesus' name, amen.